It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Tomorrow night, the City of Asylum Pittsburgh is presenting its 11th annual jazz poetry concert. It's being held near the National Aviary to accommodate its ever-expanding audience, and it is free to the public. One of the performers is Harris Kalik, a critically acclaimed and internationally recognized poet based in Islamabad, Pakistan. His writings reflect his work with civil society organizations focusing on human rights and community development. He is currently a writer in residence at the University of Iowa, and he joins us now in studio. Harris Kalik, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much, Paul, and I'm really glad to be here. And it's great to be in Pittsburgh, and my heart goes out to people who were the families and friends of the victims of Flight 93, and martyrs, rather, I would call them. That is the sad part of the day, but otherwise I'm very happy to be in Pittsburgh. Very happy to be on your program.
Have you been here before? Have you been in Pittsburgh?
I haven't been to Pittsburgh before, but I have been to the States before.
What are your impressions of our city?
Oh, it's a beautiful city. I'm living in Iowa for the last 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks actually, and Iowa City is a campus town. It's a college town, and I come from a big city. I live in a smaller city now. Islamabad is a much smaller city, but I grew up in Karachi, which is a megapolis. And so coming to Pittsburgh was like a relief from a campus life in Iowa City for 3 weeks. So it is very good, refreshing, and it's a good group of people I am hanging out with. It's very, just yesterday that I arrived, but I'm very happy to be here.
Well, it's interesting because I grew up in Pittsburgh, but I lived in Iowa for several years and then moved back from Iowa and worked in South Dakota. It's all very complicated, but I'm familiar with the part of the world that you're now in and what it must be like to go from there to here. So good to have you here. And I'd like to begin, if you don't mind, by quoting from your description of the view from your office window in Islamabad, which ends with these lines. "Last week, when it stopped raining after several hours, I decided to go beyond the window and walk across the terrace to look over the street from above. I saw a young girl squatting by a small puddle and folding paper into boats. An odd mix of intense sorrow and great hope enveloped my heart." What made that odd mix of intense sorrow and great hope for you?
Well, Paul, you're very familiar with the kind of hostile situation in which we live as a nation, and difficult situation and a turmoil and a lot of violence and terrorism that has engulfed us. But at the same time, there's a mention of a young girl. So women, particularly in Pakistan, and young girls have gone through a lot and still are going through a lot. I mean, we are a resilient bunch of people, so you will find many Malalas in Pakistan. This young girl, I have described a scene. It's not fiction, what you have just read out. It is what I saw from my window. And this poor young girl coming from the working class, perhaps from a family which were hired as domestic help in one of these palatial houses in the neighborhood. And she was a child, of one of the workers there in that house. And she was folding boats, making boats and playing in that small puddle that was formed by rainwater. So the sorrow is that, you know, it's not just terrorism. It's also, grinding poverty in which people live. And there are no human rights for these people, at least. The middle class people or the affluent still have, courts of law and access to other opportunities. So these people, which form a large number of, a large size of the population in a country like Pakistan, which is a developing country, a third world country. And then the hope is that, these girls and these children, they don't give up, and they will not give up. And there is a lot of resilience as I said earlier, in Pakistan, and movements and social movements and consciousness, which has changed over the years. So there is hope, and I call myself an incorrigible optimist. So so you know, I can't help it. I mean, I'm sad, but I'm not completely cynical, and I think it is important that we recognize that.
How much of the struggle for human rights in Pakistan is reflected in your writings and poetry?
I think it's a good question, but I mean you're an artist yourself, and you understand that art is about aesthetics first, and it's not just current affairs or journalism that I do, and you know, it's just not a direct sort of reporting on events, but yes, it does get reflected. If you're living in a difficult society or a country which is at a war within, and at war, you know, at and you know, wars or uncertain borders and volatile borders, then you it does get reflected in your work. When you see a lot of, I mean, I lost 6 friends over the last 2 years who were either killed by terrorists or killed by different religious extremist outfits or, you know, some other kind of extremist outfits. So, and 2 of them survived, and, they were shot, but they survived, and 6 of them did not survive over the last 2 to 3 years. So
was it a random violence or
no? I think it was targeted. I think in one case perhaps it was random, but I think it was targeted. I mean, there were human rights defenders, there were lawyers, they were pleading cases for victims victims coming from the working class or victims even you know, as university professor, actually, people charged for different kinds of discriminatory laws that we have, whether they are against women or they target religious minorities, or even if they target the large majority of people who are powerless and helpless. So these guys, I mean, human rights defenders, lawyers, writers, they are, or journalists, I must say, I mean, journalists and political workers who are liberal or progressive, they are at risk. And I think that's a huge burden that we carry. And, but you see, but there is a lot of, as I said, things change also, because in adversity, when people and nations go through adverse circumstances, I think there is a new beginning also, and a new awakening also that is coming along.
You know, so much of, I guess, my impressions of Pakistan are tied to Benazir Bhutto, and she seemed to represent so much of, and certainly there were accusations and whispers about her and her family, but she seemed to represent so much of the optimism that I think we've all had about what would eventually happen in Pakistan after her assassination. Is that why Pakistan is the way it is now?
Paul, I think I've been to several interviews, and you are the first person outside Pakistan who has asked me this question, and this is the most pertinent question and just the right analysis, because you have done some analysis, in your question already, assessment rather, of the situation. And yes, Benazir Bhutto's assassination was perhaps one of the worst kind of events to happen. It was a watershed event in Pakistan's checkered political history. And losing her was not just a party losing a political leader, but a nation losing a stateswoman. And that has actually, has impacted us in the most negative ways that one could imagine. And I think Pakistan is paying a huge price for that, because there's nobody to run her party, which is more or less like a headless chicken at the moment, and we still believe in that party. Many of us do, And we still believe that, you know, it will come out of this situation. But still, I mean, they are, currently not in a good position to run even a province properly, leave alone the whole country. But at the same time, it's a complete sort of right of the center religious parties which have captured I wouldn't say people's imagination, but people have no choice. So there are two major parties which rule the largest province and the northwestern province. We have got four provinces in Pakistan besides other administrative areas. So they are dominating, and the federal government also, which I think is important that, you know, the civilian rule persists and the parliament gets stronger. But at the same time, because, you know, we are living in a post-martial law period. It's been 7 years since the last martial law, but still, you know, the country has been in and out of martial rules. But it is important that, you know, civilians stay in power, but, you know, the right kind of civilians have to come to power. So there is a void at the moment in Pakistan's politics because of Benazir's assassination.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Harris Kalik, a critically acclaimed and internationally recognized poet based in Islamabad, Pakistan. He's performing this weekend as part of the City of Asylum Pittsburgh's annual jazz poetry concert. And I'm curious about, you've talked about the friends you've had who have been assassinated largely because of the work that they're doing. Have you gotten into any trouble? You know, you're a poet. You've done work, human rights work. Much of your art, the societal conditions are reflected in your art. So, have you been targeted at all?
Well, to be honest, I mean, I haven't really been receiving any direct threats, but there's a lot of hate mail that I receive all the time. But there are people who are, I think, lawyers and political workers and journalists who report on a daily basis, who are more in the front line. But I personally also, it's not easy for any of us. Something can happen anytime. But at the same time, as I said earlier, that things are changing also, and people are regrouping and coming together, and not all of us can actually run away either. So, you know, you see, I mean, it's not the solution that, you know, we all seek asylum somewhere. Well, if they throw me out, then that's a different thing. But I'm not going to run away. And there are so many of us back home who are there and who are, you know, steady and trying to do whatever they can. But it is important. I mean, survival is also important, and nobody can undermine that. The fact that, you know, we have families and we have responsibilities and we need to survive and we need to live in a peaceful environment. But I think what I see, I mean, there is a silver lining that with the situation in the region improving and with a renewed resolve to fight the extremism, I think we will come out of this situation. However, something that is more important to do is to counter the legitimacy that these forces have in the minds of people. It's not just people who take up arms. It's also people who actually think that people who have taken up arms are actually the right, you know, they're doing the right thing. You see, it is important that, people who are invisible otherwise, but who provide that legitimacy with their silent support to extremists or to violence, that I think has to be challenged and addressed. And that is where writers and academics and thinkers can play their role.
People like you. Would you share a poem with us?
Can
you do that? That's putting you. I know I'm putting you on the spot, but do you have something that you could read?
Well, I can. Yes, I can share a poem, and I'm sorry, it's a little sad, but
it's a sad day. In many ways.
Yeah,
today, 9/11. So why not?
Yeah. So it is about. It is titled. And it's in English. I write mostly in Urdu, but I also write in English. But this is a poem which I wrote in English. So, you know,
because I don't think any of the listeners here will understand.
I think you're probably right about that.
So this poem is titled Burying Martyrs Who Are Heavy. We are turned into a funeral procession. All 180 million of us. We carry 100,000 bodies on our shoulders. We are told they are martyrs, and martyrs are light. Light like rose petals. But the ones we carry are heavy. They have metal inside. Bullets, shrapnel, pellets, nails. Tips of swords and daggers broken into their flesh. The bodies will dissolve in the mud once buried, but the metal will keep the earth hard under our feet for long.
The words of our guest, Haris Khalik, a critically acclaimed and internationally recognized poet based in Islamabad, Pakistan. He is here in Pittsburgh taking part in the City of Asylum Pittsburgh's annual jazz poetry concert. It's happening tomorrow night. And tell us about how you're going to go about melding your words with music this weekend, which is what this event is all about. I guess your first rehearsal is tonight, you said?
Yes, this evening. And I'm looking forward to that, Paul, because I have done some collaborations with musicians before, but not with a jazz trio. And somebody like Vijay Iyer and Oliver Lake, I mean, I really look forward to that. I mean, they are legendary artists and performers and composers. So this will be an amazing opportunity. But what I have done before is kind of a spoken word poetry and mixed with music, mashups, that kind of work. But I really look forward to this collaboration with jazz artists.
It is always an interesting event, and it will be made all the more interesting by your presence.
And I'm going to read my poetry in Urdu, by the way. It will be shown, for audience, it will be put up on the screens in English as I read, but I will read in Urdu, and I think, I'm not sure, I have to ask Henry and the team in the City of Asylum, this amazing organization, my host, but probably this is for the first time in Pittsburgh that Urdu poetry will be recited with jazz. Of course, with translations available, so people will be able to know what I'm saying.
I certainly couldn't dispute that, and that is part of what happens. There have been poets from all over the world who have expressed themselves in their native tongue with a translation, which a lot of times it's better to hear it that way. It's like watching a foreign film with subtitles. You'd rather have that than something dubbed in. Again, it is happening tomorrow night as part of the City of Asylum Pittsburgh's annual jazz poetry concert, and it's taking place in the area near the National Aviary to accommodate its ever-expanding audience. And again, Haris Khalik joining us, a internationally acclaimed poet from Islamabad, Pakistan. Haris Khalik, thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh. It's been a pleasure meeting and talking with you.
Thank you very much, Paul. Thank you for inviting me to the show.
It's my distinct pleasure. Coming up, what an arts group from Birmingham, England is trying to learn about Pittsburgh. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.